Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Afternoon delight.
Hey, where you laying?
Don't make a sound. Hour number three on a Wednesday. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling producing, making sure it's all running smoothly. Getting a little closer to the tournament. We'll be out at Twin Peaks in Round Rock tomorrow. Trey and BK, Rod show, as well as our show out there tomorrow. So get your excuses ready. Tell the boss whatever you need to and get on out to Twin Peaks in Round Rock to watch the first day of the tournament with us. That is tomorrow. Coming up here in just a minute, we're going to try to get you a little help on your bracket with a guy we talked to during football season, Brandon Lang of BrandonLang.com. But if you've heard any of those conversations where we talk football, you can definitely hear that he watches some basketball and a lot of different teams. So I can't wait to hear what he's got to say.
Yeah, I think Trey's going to hang out with us tomorrow. So come on by. That should be a lot of fun. This tournament's changed a lot, but it's still the first day, so it's hopefully get some buzzer beaters, get some good games.
Yeah, it's those first 2 days. You know, once you get past the first 2 days in any year, then it becomes about the quality of the matchups and all that. But the reason I think it gets the word madness hooked onto it, it's these first 2 days because you've got so many opportunities. Even if you get a couple blowouts or something, you get the opportunity to have some excitement.
Yeah, I'm hoping we get good basketball because we talked about some of the if we get chalk, we saw. The conference tournament saw some really good ball between really good teams, so you hope that happens down the road, but that being a couple weeks. So, yeah, I mean, hope you get as good a basketball as we can get, competitive as basketball, and some drama thrown in there, which usually there is. I mean, going to Vegas in the book, I know Brandon knows this better than we do, and I think we got Brandon ready to go now, is that there's just nothing like, I mean, nothing like the first couple days. And let's get to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline and bring on Brandon Lang from BrandonLang.com. Brandon, I know I've done it a couple times. I'm sure you've done it. The first couple days at a book in Vegas, is there anything like that for the March Madness?
No, I can't. You know, I can't do it anymore. First of all, you gotta line unless you're. You know, again, and I'm speaking for the general layman, not people who get the VIP treatment and get the table and everything's reserved. No, I'm talking about just the guy who comes to Vegas with his buddies, and you gotta line up at about 4:30, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning to get a good seat in the sports book, and then you know the games tip at 9 a.m. Vegas time, and then it's full on all day long, and it's you know you can go in and standing room only and take part in the emotion. You'll see grown men crying, brought to their knees, the bad beats, ripping up their ticket, and 3 feet to the right of them is a guy who had the other side,
yeah,
who's going absolutely crazy in it. I'm surprised, seriously, more fights have not broke out when you have the shift in emotions that you do within the last 6 seconds of a game. Money line, brackets, parlays. It's, you know, I've done it so many times that, you know, I'm 56 now, and it's, you know, unless I have some really dear friends that want to come to town and do it, I don't have many Star Trek moments left in me. And you say Star Trek moments, I'm like, yeah, because when you come to Vegas, we're going to go where no man has gone before. But I don't, you know, I don't know how many more of those moments I have at 56. I maybe have one a year if I'm lucky, but I can't, you know, guys, I can't walk out of Dre's at 11:30 in the morning and go eat breakfast. I just can't do it anymore. You know, it's not it.
You got
it's
that
not in me, boys.
You got that dime piece. You're having it more than once a year.
That's no. We don't listen, and she'll be the first to tell you. We look at each other. You know, we had some friends come into town 2 weeks ago, and we went out with them, and we looked at each other at about 12:45. And I go, "Are you tired?" She said, "I'm tired." Me too. I go, "Let's go." And we called it, and then we got home, and we're laying in bed, and I looked at her. I said, "Man, are we getting old?" And she says, "Yeah, we're getting old." But you know what? We had. I did it right. I stayed single till I was 40. Met my wife. We had 5 years of just her and I. And then we had the Angel IJ, and it's been a great 9-year run with her. But they know leave daddy alone when it comes to this week, and they do.
Yeah.
And, this is leave daddy alone for the next 6 days. So we're in the man cave, and we're we're getting after it.
That is
it.
Rock and roll. We always tell you about BrandonLang.com. Also, Brandon is the host of The Sharp Edge on the Believe Podcast Network, so definitely check that out, too. So, Brandon, as we've talked to you about football, we'll throw in some basketball time to time, and I know you watch this closely, so let me just start with kind of a general question. Are there any, double-digit seeds? Is there anything you really love about this bracket? Anybody that you really think could make a run from a pretty high seed?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, understand that for the last 11 years, a double-digit seed has gotten to the Sweet 16, so you know it's going to happen. 7 of the last 10 years, a 14 seed has won. 9 of the last 10 years, I believe, a 13 seed has won. It's going to happen, so you have to isolate and figure out where it is. I think I've got a 14 seed in Yale that has a distracted LSU team. I wouldn't be surprised if Yale is your 14 seed that pulls off the shocker. New Mexico State is sitting there. It's a big, fat, juicy 12 seed against Auburn. New Mexico State sitting there 3. Personally, I think Auburn's got just a little bit too much. An 11 seed Ohio State I like over Iowa State. Now your 2 13s that I think are going to shock the world. I think Cal Irvine going to be Kansas State. Ben Wade banged up, and that's a crucial loss against a team like Irvine, that again, a West Coast team that nobody's seen play. And then here's your shocker. Not only is Northeastern plus the 8 going to beat Kansas outright,
whoa,
but you heard it here first. Bill Self is out of Kansas like a fat girl in dodgeball when this tournament's said and done.
Wow.
Is he going to Chicago?
Where did you get the intel, buddy? Pretty darn. Look at my boy.
I know some people, Brandon. Not like you, but I know some people.
Look at this guy. I broke this story 2 weeks ago, and you're the first person in these 41 radio shows I've done the last 2 weeks who came back with, is he going to the Bulls? Look at my man coming from
see there? Deep.
I learned from the best, my there. Man. I learned from the best. I'm also a Bulls fan.
Yeah, there's the, my sources tell me he's definitely, they're 95% sure, and this is, you know, people in the collegiate realm who I've met over the years and whose opinion I trust and information I trust, that he's, you know, you look at, you, the writing's on the wall, the 14 straight Big 12 championships gone, defections in his program, suspensions in his program, players leaving his program, it's just, it's time. Right on the wall. And I'm not saying that some of the sanctions coming down and Kansas is involved. I'm not privy to how deep that goes. I just, from what I was told, it's time to step away from Kansas.
Oh, I think if you're a college basketball coach and you got through this FBI thing, you better take a serious look at going to the next level if you can.
Yeah, and listen, Northeastern's got 5 starters back from last year. It's a veteran team. If you've not seen them play, they got a European kid that's unbelievable. And listen, Let's not shy away from it here. Kansas has had first-round exits before,
yep,
under Bill Self. And with all the distractions, and they've not really been a great team on the road this year, I think it sets up well for Northeastern. So like I said, the shocker of all shockers, last year I came on your show and said Loyola Chicago to the Final Four. People thought I was crazy, said put the bong down. I don't smoke weed, but people assumed I was smoking weed when I gave that out. But I will tell you this. Last Friday night, I watched them play their semifinal game against Arizona State. I went right back at the courtside seats for the Washington-Oregon Pac-12 final when they were playing their 4th game in 4 nights. And I can tell you, Oregon walked into that gym like they were playing a Saturday scrimmage and hadn't played in 3 weeks. They had a bounce to them. And if you've not seen them play, this is a legit team with a point guard who started as a freshman on that Final Four team. He's a senior now in Pritchard. I got not only the Oregon Ducks beating Wisconsin, I got them beating Virginia. I got them beating Tennessee,
whoa,
and they're my this year's Loyola of Chicago, the Ducks going to the Final Four.
Whoa. How about that? The 12-seeded Ducks to the Final Four.
They looked the part in the tournament. I'll give them
that. I like it.
Sure did.
So, Brandon, you kind of answered my next question. I know the math tells you not to pick all the number one seeds to get to the Final Four because it's only happened like once ever. So it sounds like you don't think Virginia is making that full trip. Any of the other number one seeds that you don't like to make a run to the Final Four?
Duke.
Okay.
Why?
Everybody picks Duke, and what people don't realize is that no team has ever won the national championship that shoots 31% or less from 3. And Duke's ranked 311th in Division I in 3-point field goal percentage. no team ranked in the 300s that shoots less than, it was 32% rather, has ever won a championship. They're not a good shooting team. They're not. They get a lot of their buckets and turnovers in transition. They get a lot of their buckets with one-on-one action, and they don't shoot the three particular well. When they run into Michigan State in that Elite Eight, I know Zion Williamson's getting all the pub, but I'm going to introduce you to three guys. I'm going to introduce you to Mr. Ward, Mr. Goins, and Mr. Tillman. All three are 6'11". All three are bangers. All three can play, and there's something magical about this Michigan State team. I'm telling you right now, it's the best chemistry that Tom Izzo's had since the Flintstones in the early 2000s that won the national championship with Team Cleaves. There's something special about that team. And listen, I'm not saying that because I watched them closely because Matt McQuaid, their guard, I played high school ball with his dad, Rob, and I inducted Rob into the Michigan Midland High School Hall of Fame, our high school in Midland. And the next day, we went down to our high school gym, me and Matt, little horse, and it was a 25-minute game, a mano-a-mano. H-O-R-S. I had H-O-R-S. Matt had H-O-R. I went out to the college three-line, free-throw line extended, called a bank, hit it, pointed to him and said, it's over. He looks at me, winks at me, makes it, and puts me away on the next shot from, like, just inside half court. I took him to the wire. I couldn't beat him. But, again, this is a Michigan State team that I love, and I think that this team's going to the national championship to play North Carolina.
I like that. I was going to ask you about them. A team here in the state of Texas, Houston, you got Kelvin Sampson, who's been to a Final Four before with Oklahoma. Guard-oriented team. Are they good enough to make a run?
Yeah, they are. Kentucky's a little banged up. I like them to get the Sweet 16. They're going to have to play one of the better games to beat Kentucky, which I think that's possible with P.J. Washington banged up. But then I think it ends there. Whoever gets to that Elite Eight in the Midwest, I just think UNC, check that. I've never released a 200 dimer on my website in basketball. I have in football. I have in basketball. I did it a couple of weeks ago with UNC over Duke at home. Remember, they're up 75-60, laying four. I was celebrating 6:21 to go, and then I watched Duke go on a 10-0 run, cut it to five with the ball. 55 seconds to go, I was ready to go to the stratosphere and jump off the stinking thing, but they they held on, got it done 79-70. I just love everything about this team. Their veteran leadership, their bigs inside, second in rebounding margin in the nation, good guard play as well. I think this UNC team cuts down the net.
And if Houston does get Carolina in the Elite Eight, I think Brandon's right. I like this Houston team, but I think size could really get them.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the first team that they'll face that has significant size. If you don't have size and you play Houston, they're going to run you. Throw the conference championship game out. Beating a Cincinnati team three times. And listen, when you know where you're at in the NCAA, you kind of just, when it comes time to dig down deep and get it, Houston just didn't dig down deep. We beat you all twice. We won the regular season. We're going to the NCAA tournament. So
they were three either way, Brandon.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, and that just goes to show you, Tom Izzo in the pregame meal before the Michigan game on Sunday went to his players and said, listen, if you guys don't want to play this, we won't play this. I'll play my reserves. We need the rest. We're banged up. I get it. Don't worry about it. We've done everything we needed to do. He knew them winning the Big Ten championship. He knew the tournament championship. He knows the guys in Kansas City. But listen, when you got five guys and short sleeve, white dress shirts with a pocket over the heart, black rim glasses and five pins tucked in that aren't affiliated with the Mormon church, and those are the guys picking your bracket, eating. It ain't happening, guys. It just ain't happening. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to shaft people. They're going to put people in the wrong places. They're going to throw Wolford under the bus, having to go through Seton Hall in Kentucky. They're going to take up Buffalo and stick them in the West region, which is a landmine of Gonzaga, Syracuse, Marquette, Fresno State, Arizona, Texas Tech, Nevada, Michigan. Good luck, Buffalo. Thanks for beating Arizona last year. And then you're going to take Michigan State, who probably should have been a one seed. You're going to be them a two seed and put them in the bracket of the number one overall seed. So it's Tom Izzo knew it. Borrow from the movie Fletch. You're going to use old fist there, Doc? Well, they most certainly did. But at the end of the day, the Spartans will basically say, we want Duke. And if you really break down Michigan State, they get Louisville and Minnesota in the next round, who they've already played this year. They get an LSU team or Belmont that's going to be unfocused, and then they get Duke right there. It actually works out pretty well with where they put them had they been a one seed where Gonzaga is and gone through that landmine. So at the end of the day, I'm just not a fan of Duke for the reasons I gave you, and I think Duke runs it. And listen, the monkey in the room, the gorilla in the room, is 1-11 against Coach K. That's got to end sometime. I think it ends right here.
That's Babar.
That's right, yes. Brandon Lang, BrandonLang.com, and again, the host of The Sharp Edge on the Believe Podcast Network. Brandon, you just talked about the West Region and all those landmines. Let's talk about who gets out of it. You mentioned Texas Tech. Focus on them for a second as the 3 seed, and then do you think Gonzaga gets out of there? Who do you think survives all the landmines?
I wanted to pick Texas Tech over Gonzaga. I really did. I wanted to do it. I stared at it. I kept looking at it. I wrote it in, wrote it out, wrote it in, wrote it out. But at the end of the day, the one weakness of Texas Tech is on the interior. And I just believe the two bigs for Gonzaga in that matchup of Texas Tech just doesn't bode well for them. And because of that, I throw out the conference tournament game against St. Mary's. That, again, disinterested like Houston. From a matchup standpoint, if Gonzaga can get knocked off by somebody before they get to Texas Tech, because I love Texas Tech over Michigan. I do. I think Texas Tech beats Michigan. They match up so well with the Wolverines. If Gonzaga can get upset by, let's say, Florida State or Syracuse, Texas Tech could punch their ticket to the Final Four, boys.
Mm-hmm. You watch so much college basketball, Brandon, and obviously college basketball fans here in Austin not real happy with the team, the program, and also a lot aren't real happy with Shaka Smart. Give us some coaches, because you mentioned Tech. Chris Beard's thrown around here a lot. He went to Texas. Give us Beard and some other coaches that you see week in and week out that are really good at what they do.
I don't believe Shaka's on the hot seat until next year. And by the way, I had a big play last night on South Dakota State, plus the points, and as Jenkins, the guard for South Dakota State's running around trying to foul in those last 19 seconds. I'm about to throw my remote through the TV. he's fouling. If you didn't know better, you'd say that you would say he laid the points. If you didn't know better, you watched the last 41 seconds of that game. The last 3 minutes of that game. He had 3 turnovers. He's jacking up shots when Dom's your best player. He's throwing up bricks, not even coming close. Then he's looking to foul you, me, the guy up in the popcorn stand, 17 rows up. He's looking to foul him too. And then you're down 6. Texas gets the ball. The left point guard can go in for a layup. He does, and he dribbles to the left. And there's like 9 seconds to go. Here comes Jenkins running all the way down the court, trying to chase him down and foul him over there by the press table. My gosh, to get a win right there. But I got it. I'm happy. We go into today. But at the end of the day, I think Shaka has one more year of grace. What will this be? Next year will be his 4th year?
Be his 5th year.
Next year's 5. Yeah.
Be his 5th year. So I think if he doesn't get it done, and there's some talent there, if he doesn't get it done, then I think that job is going to open up. I don't think Chris Beard will move laterally from Texas Tech to Texas. I don't. I think he's pretty happy at Texas Tech. And if anything, with the Kansas job going to open up, that'll be interesting to see who they go after and who they get there.
UCLA's open?
UCLA's open. So I think Shaka's got one more year before the noose gets tight. Little Clint Eastwood hang them high on Shaka Smart.
Brandon Lang, BrandonLang.com, and host of The Sharp Edge on the Believe Podcast Network. Brandon, we always appreciate it, man. Enjoy the tournament, sir.
All right, guys, let's see how we do with the Oregon Ducks getting to the Sweet 16 and
Michigan
State and all that nonsense, and we'll talk next week.
I'm riding it. Thanks, Brandon.
Good stuff. Thanks, Brandon.
All right, guys.
Brandon Lang, BrandonLang.com. The Oregon Ducks is a 12 to the Final Four. Is that what he just said? That is crazy.
It could happen. If they play like they did, they looked really good. We'll see if they can put that together. They played in such a bad conference this year that they had to win that conference tournament, the Pac-12, to advance. But I could see it. I mean, they're in there with Virginia. There's honestly not a lot of teams that I love that I've seen in the South region. He's right. The West is pretty loaded for 2019.
Thanks to Brandon, as always. Right now, let's have Kevin tell you a little bit more about Dr. Brotzman and what he's got going on.
Yeah, maybe you were a basketball player back in the day, or maybe you're trying to get back into working out, workout warrior. No matter where you're at, Dr. Brotzman's a great guy to go see if you have any pain, especially with your knees, ankles, feet. He is the best orthopedic doctor and surgeon in Austin. He's the only one who wrote the orthopedic book to an orthopedic book to originate out of Austin, and it's been translated into 12 different languages. He's actually written a couple of them. Get online, you'll see kind of what people across the globe think of Dr. Brotzmann, and you'll realize that we're really lucky to have him here. 25 years of experience. They can do PRP, they can do stem cells, PRP that's found in your blood, and it stimulates stem cells to become to come in and then heal things. So you probably read about that. We talk about a lot of this stuff on this show. It's what a lot of professional athletes are doing, and they're going to guys, hopefully they're going to guys that are as good as Dr. Brotzmann. I can attest he's the real deal. Give him a call, 512-977-0000, 512-977-0000, or you can go to BrotzmannSportsMedicine.com. Don't forget, they've got therapists there, and they can do x-rays, so you don't have to drive anywhere else. You go there, and you're good to go.
All right, coming up in the Big Three, a nice big move for the Astros that we've talked about. If you missed that, we'll get into that again. Plus, another injury that might affect one of the best teams in the NBA. Remember, Texas baseball comes up at 6:15 on the pregame, 6:30 first pitch, Texas and Arkansas. You'll hear it right here on the Horn. Black. Rolling through a Wednesday. Tell you a little bit more about the IndyCar races this weekend after Trey tells you who this is.
This is Bones Owens. Keep It Close is the name of the song.
Bones Owens. Trey is stumbling into a rockin' vibes list today from Spotify. Be sure to check out Bucky and Aaron this week because the Indy cars are coming to COTA this weekend, and they're giving away four packs, and the last four pack goes out tomorrow. So call in during their show for your chance to win one of those four packs of tickets to see the Indy cars at COTA, and then there's a post-race live performance from Muse out there this weekend. For additional ticket info, go to HornFM.com or CircuitOfTheAmericas.com. All right, let's get you a Big Three, and we'll start with an injury here.
The Big Three.
The Big Three is brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty. Any make, any model. Click AppleLeasing.com and see how easy it is.
This is certainly the time in the sports calendar when the NBA takes a backseat to college basketball with the tournament cranking up. But just something to keep in mind, the Milwaukee Bucks suffer another key injury. Forward Nikola Mirotic is out for 2 to 4 weeks. He's broken his left thumb. They are only three games up on Toronto right now in the East, 11 games to go. So they've got about 3 weeks left in their regular season schedule. That means Mirotic is going to miss probably the beginning of the playoffs. They're already without Malcolm Brogdon for 6 to 8 weeks. He's got a plantar fascia tear in his right foot. So Milwaukee, and if you're still following Kawhi Leonard and Toronto, them trying to chase Milwaukee down, they're only three games back. So something to keep in mind there in the NBA. Also in Major League Baseball, we mentioned it, another deal goes down with a big name, and Astros fans, this one's all about you. Alex Bregman, a 6-year, $100 million deal. He's only 24 years old, and as you know, if you've watched him, he is damn good. Big deal there for the Astros as baseball now starts to sign all these names that we talked about now that the biggest names are signed. Speaking of baseball, but on the college side, Texas and Arkansas again tonight, 6:30 on the first pitch, 6:15 pregame. See if the Longhorns can bounce back from an 11-4 defeat. And tonight in Dayton, more play-in games. Try not to get too excited. It's 2 18-15 teams in game number one tonight. North Carolina Central taking on North Dakota State, and the winner gets Duke. And then it's St. John's and Arizona State, and the winner gets Buffalo. So there is your Big Three here in the 5 o'clock hour. Hope everybody is having a good Wednesday. We have discussed, of course, Texas winning in the NIT. We're waiting to see who they will play next.
I'll add to that, and I'm just reading now that senior guard for Syracuse, Frank Howard, is not going to play in the NCAA tournament. So if you were looking to take Syracuse, I mean, what are they playing? Baylor, right? Yeah, playing Baylor at that 8-9, then maybe go with the Bears on that. So this is kind of he had an indefinite suspension. I never found out why. I really wasn't into Syracuse much, but read that a couple different times. And so this coming out is this is not good. I know he had a big time ACC tournament too.
Yeah, that's big. Also, we saw this yesterday at the end of the show. Have you heard any update on PJ Washington from Kentucky?
I have. He's going to play through it. So the question is how effective can he be? And he's another guy who man, he, when he and Grant Williams are going back and forth, and Grant is a grown man, and PJ is going to be a damn good player. He's big, big kid for his age, a big guy. But the fact that he kind of went back and forth, I was impressed with him. I like him a lot, but he's going to have to be big for them. He does so much stuff for them, not only offensively, but also being a tough guy on the glass.
So tomorrow, in case you are wondering if you're looking for, do you want to use your get-out-of-jail-free cards for tomorrow or Friday or whatever. Tomorrow, the first games, Minnesota-Louisville is going to start it off. Then you got Yale and LSU. The New Mexico State-Auburn game, the first 12-5, is a 12:30 tip tomorrow. If you're a Kansas fan, around 3 o'clock tomorrow is Kansas. Baylor, if you're a Baylor fan, you don't have to worry about getting out of work if that's all you're focused on, because they don't play till 9 o'clock tomorrow night, late in Salt Lake City. The Baptists going to the land of the Mormons in Salt Lake City.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
9 o'clock or so on that start time. Also, if you're into that Murray State Marquette game with Ja Morant, one of the stud players you may not have seen, but maybe they can get on a run and get people talking, they're going to play about 3:30 tomorrow. So just an idea of when you may want to try to lean out of work tomorrow on the first day of the tournament. Did you see the story about the Abilene Christian coach who's getting ready to take on Kentucky?
Did not.
So the man owned two suits to start the year. He left one of them in an airport, and so he lost it during the season. In their celebration of winning the Southland tournament, he literally ripped a hole in the ass of his pants.
Oh, man.
He took it to the one suit shop in Abilene that he uses. They could not get it fixed in time, so he's not breaking the string. He's going to wear the lucky suit with a hole in the ass.
Okay.
So he just proudly told that to the media.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, so if you're watching that game, he's wearing the lucky, apparently it's a baby blue suit that he's all about, and apparently there's a tear where there doesn't need to be a tear.
Yeah, so they're obviously hoping PJ's not ready to go.
That's correct. They need a walking boot.
Saw a 15 seed here in 95 when there was a regional here. Texas Southern, man, they had Arkansas. They had Arkansas done and got them in one or two overtimes. But the fact that it was even there was just bizarre. That's when this tournament is really special. And getting back to what Brandon was talking about a little bit, probably the best betting memory I have, you know, I'm not a big bettor, so I don't have, it's not like I've got Brandon's memory bank on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But would have been in Vegas, and it was a 27-28 point game with 20 seconds, maybe 30 seconds to go. So it made me realize at that point, most people, except for degenerates, don't care about this game.
Of course not.
It's done.
I'm not even watching that game.
Right,
at that
you're
point.
Not watching. It was standing room only, and half of it was, you know, on one side of that.
So what was the line, 25?
It would have been, so it's like, you know, whatever, 26, yeah, 20. I mean, it was right there. So 26-point game, 27-point line, 25-point line, whatever.
Yeah.
But they flashed to the coach of the team that's down, and we're all waiting, and CBS flashes to him, and he goes, "No foul, no foul." And half of the book just goes nuts, like, "Yeah!" And the other half is screaming, "No, you got a foul!" And as the clock's winding out, they're ripping up their tickets, and I thought, okay, I get it. Yeah, I really get it.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, if you've never done that, check. You got to get out to Vegas for the tournament one of those first couple days sometime. Real quick, while we have a moment, I told you I was going to talk scooters today.
Yeah. What do you got here?
Because I just need to know if you guys have seen these things. So this week, I saw something I've never seen in my life. It's like hoverboards or the thing where you're standing on it. It's got the two wheels on the outside, and you're just rolling around the house. You know what do they call those? Hoverboards or...
Not the thing that Job had. Not the Segway.
Not a Segway. No, not with the handle. It's handleless and it's just there. Trey, help me out here. The thing that you stand on with the wheels on the outside and you roll around the house. They call those hoverboards or...
Segway?
Nah, that's not a Segway.
That's what I said.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Oh, here it is. Is this it right here?
Right, that thing right there. Okay. Now, so Matt... So,
I haven't seen this. What the hell?
So you take that idea, but this... Keep in mind, this person was on 360.
Oh, my God.
Going up an incline. But instead of it being a sideways rectangle, imagine the rectangle just facing long ways. So his feet are oriented like they would be on a scooter, right? But there's no handle. There's no bar coming up. There's nothing for him to grab onto. It's just, it was white. And
How does it go?
I'm assuming there's a motor in it. So... He is, and again, I cannot find a picture on the internet of what I saw, but this dude was going up an inclined part of 360, and Kevin, he's in the left shoulder
of the left lane on 360.
Unbelievable.
Just cruising up.
That's ridiculous.
He's got no protection.
That is ridiculous.
He's got no helmet on.
I don't care about that. I care about us.
He's just rolling. And thankfully, I was on the other side. But I'm thinking, oh, my God, if I rolled up on that guy, what would I be thinking of? Trey, have you seen these contraptions yet?
They're pretty awful.
I don't even know what they are yet.
Well, and we just need to cut this whole thing out. Look, this city is not. I had some chick on a bike who I would have, if I would have been going fast, could have killed her. But I stopped at a stop sign for about a second, and she blew it, and of course gave me the finger,
right?
Which is, you know,
because it was your fault.
Yeah, it was my fault.
How dare you drive?
You know, my bad there, you bike rider. We've got to cut out all the scooters. We've got to cut out this crap. It's for cars. Certain bikes on certain areas, and that's it. That's it.
They're finally coming up with legislation for scooters and even skateboards and bicycles to clarify the rules, especially in areas that have a dense pedestrian population on the sidewalks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I heard y'all talking about that today.
It's just dangerous.
And I saw this at South by Southwest and covering it over the last couple of weeks that there are just people who aren't coordinated enough to ride those things, period, but especially not coordinated enough to ride those things where their errors lead to other people getting hurt. The people who are walking around minding their own business, there almost needs to be the stakes on the line that if you're going to risk getting on one of those scooters, you damn well better know how to use it, because otherwise it's you versus car.
Yeah.
Or you versus bicycle instead of you versus pedestrian.
I say let's get some legislation. I'm not usually for that, but I want a hand-eye coordination. And while we're at it, bring it to the DMV.
Well, hand-eye test? I'm all for that.
Here, catch.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, my man the other day, basically he's on a motorized skateboard. That's about all he had underneath him, and I just could not believe he was out on 360, just flying up that hill.
Now, it wasn't one of the one-wheel deals, right? That is a skateboard that's on a single wheel that it propels on its own?
I'm looking at that right now.
It may have been. Let me see.
Okay, because I've seen those rolling around the city now, and those...
Okay, that might have been more like it, because it feel like it had a hump in the middle.
Okay, yeah. The hump in the middle is that wheel.
So those, I think, are a little bit better than the scooters, because I think they have some element of shock to them versus the scooters that if you hit any sort of crack or some discretion in the road... Something that's not continuously smooth, the scooter's just screwed because it doesn't have shocks. That, I think, at least has a shock, but it's still a single wheel.
Right.
That you're riding around at like 15 to 20 miles per hour.
I'm telling you, the dude, if he was in a go-kart we used to ride around in when we were kids, I'd have felt better for him.
At least
there's a cage around you. Yeah. You know, at least there's something there.
They have these other contraptions that I saw during South By that are about to become a thing, and they're safer than scooters, so... In a way, I can't even rail on them as much, but it looks like a motorized three-wheeler almost.
Okay.
And I think they probably get going in the 20 to 30 mile per hour range, and they're supposed to be able to take you short distances from A to B downtown or maybe just across the river.
You mean like a motorized tricycle or something?
Yeah, something like that. But that's at least a better option than the scooter, than you riding around on a freaking scooter that's electric.
I totally agree.
I don't want any of it.
Yeah, so be
cool with bicycles, but even then, and I ride a bicycle, I mean, there needs to be rules like you talked about. So they need to be followed.
Yeah. So I'm just letting all my folks know out here on 360 that if you see my man with the weird short white hump thing and he's flying around, be careful, please. Be careful, because he's got no protection at all. It is psycho stuff. All right. Coming up, we'll check voicemails if they're there. You want to slip one in, 337-3776. Also coming up, if St. John's wins tonight, did they technically win a tournament game? Oh, the answer is so complex. Plus, could it be good news that somebody moves their championship game? We'll tell you that story, too. This is The Horn.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
All right, let's see if we've got any voicemails today. 337-3776. Trey, any voicemails from the good people? Yesterday we had a weird one.
Yes, yeah, caught me off guard, although I'm assuming based on how little you talk about the voicemails. God, no, there's no voicemails.
How dare you? How dare you? Yesterday we had a voicemail with a question, and they didn't even answer it, about South Dakota State's mascot. It was highly educational.
The jackalope.
Yeah, I don't even know if that was it.
I think it was actually wrong. I think it was North Dakota. what he was thinking of.
They were trying to think of a different school.
We had a texter tell us that.
Yeah. All right. So in terms of the crap bag, I had a weird conversation today, and I was going to talk about this anyway, but I come to work, and one of our guys that was hanging out, it's an intern, and he was wearing a St. John's jersey today. And I walk in, I'm talking to him, and he's a big St. John's fan. And I said, all right, if you guys win this game tonight, is it a tournament win? He goes, oh, man, hadn't happened in 20 years. And I thought, well, if you win tonight, it really hadn't happened either. But anyway, I started thinking about the difference between that guy and somebody that's rooting for, like, North Carolina Central tonight. Look, I'm never going to think it's a tournament win. But if this first game, whoever wins, you do whatever you need to do. If you need to put a banner up and tell yourself you won a tournament game, fine. But if you root for the Johnnies, I'm not letting you do it. I'm sorry. You're a St. John's fan? I'm not even letting you do it if you're an Arizona State fan tonight. I know you don't have exactly, like, college basketball history and pride. Sorry. You're in a conference with UCLA and USC. You need to earn it. You need to actually win a tournament game. But do what you need to do. Just don't have me talk to the team, because I'll tell them they didn't win a tournament game. If you win it in Dayton, I'm sorry. You just didn't. You got to go win another game.
Now, does age, because he is younger, I mean, does age play into it? Like, he doesn't remember 85. I mentioned Mark Jackson, Chris Mullen, Bill Winnington, and I got kind of a blank stare, I mean, which is understandable. I mean, get it. But you know what I mean? To where that was a Ron Artest jersey, and he looked at me like Ron Artest was the best player St. John's has ever had, which isn't true, but I get it.
And that's what he told me. He's like, that's the last time they won a game.
He's exactly right.
In
yeah.
the tournament. Like, I had
although he knew his stuff.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought of it that way. So again, to me, it's like, hey, whatever helps you sleep, if you can, people can convince themselves of just about anything. You're going to ask me what I think.
Did
that's
you follow
different.
Politics recently?
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's all about, it's just, here's, it's just like this. If you ask my daughter if she's ever beaten me at air hockey, she can tell you whatever she wants, but if she actually asks me, has she ever really beaten me at air hockey, that's a different discussion.
That's a no. Monkey, you listening?
And eventually I had to tell her that, because she started running her mouth a little too much about air hockey. I'm like, honey, I've been being a good dad here. So the next time we play, I want you to know I'm going to ask you, you want it on or off? Because I'll let you know.
Wow.
And look, I'm a man enough to admit, I went all out against my niece one time and she beat me. She beat me legitimately as like a 13-year-old. I admit that. I'm not a great air hockey player. But I've never lost to my daughter if I'm going all out.
Well, I don't know. That started out like you were a really good dad and finished off like it's brother or sister.
Yeah, that's pretty much every crab bag. Every crab bag ends that way where I don't look as good. So, again, Belmont last night, call it whatever you want. That coach hadn't won one or whatever. That's fine.
So do you really whip up on her?
No, I don't whip up on her. I'm a good dad.
You keep it close?
I keep things close.
And you got computer simulation on?
And then when I sense
or
that
assistance?
You know, it would be good for her psyche, well, we'll let one get by the goalie occasionally.
Yeah.
It'll happen. Sometimes that happens. You know, we try to keep it fair.
I had to stop playing for a little while.
Stop playing air hockey?
Mm-hmm.
Wrist injury?
No, actually left-hand injury because I was using my left hand to block.
We're not supposed to do that.
Well, I know, but I couldn't help myself. I just couldn't help myself.
That's sad. That's very sad is what
so
that
it was
is.
Injury.
Completely, completely sad.
Injury. Air hockey is one of those games, though. It's like ping pong. There's some people that are just like they're seemingly good at everything. Not a lot of people. It's a small percentage. Yep. But I think we've all had that one friend who's just dynamite. Seems to be good at everything. Picks up a video game, plays ping pong.
Mm-hmm.
And the air hockey's always on there. How are you good at air hockey? I don't know.
I think I've told you this.
JD?
I think I've said it on the air, man. JD Lewis is dynamite at a lot of things, but I got to play air hockey against him, and I don't want to do it again.
Right.
He's really good.
Well, and JD's that type of guy. Where you go, he's a scratch golfer. We shot 100 threes run one time, and he hit 92 of them.
Oh, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah, no, seriously. This isn't exaggerating.
And this one will make sense to you. Him on Papa Shot, don't even think about it.
Like, right.
It's going to destroy you.
But there are always those guys, and those guys, watch out. If it's that guy or that gal, and it's your buddy, that they're just always good at that,
yep.
And you haven't played air hockey, they're probably going to kick your ass in air hockey.
Also, that game, for those of you who know this game I'm about to say, that buck hunter game, that stand-up hunting game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
JD's incredible at that.
Can Bo Edge take him?
Well, to be fair, I watched the two of them play together, and it was close.
Okay.
They're both really good at that game.
I can see Bo being good at that.
Don't play either one of those guys in that game. I'm horrible at that game.
Or don't golf with them.
Yeah, definitely don't golf with those two guys.
We're getting JD on tomorrow. We're going to get his take on this great BK Texas historical thing
and also maybe even get into a little bit of the NFL stuff with them. But yeah, I guess the only thing to do with JD and Bo is drink with them.
Yeah, well, that's fun. You definitely do that. I've played golf with them. Just don't do it for money.
Just don't do it for money.
Don't do it for your own money.
Or do it to scramble and be on their team.
Exactly. Yeah, you're going to lose the money otherwise. All right, another quick thing here. Interesting story involving the AAF. The AAF is moving their championship game from Vegas to Jerry's house. Not Jerry World, but Jerry's house. They're going to do it at the Star in Frisco, and some people think this could be an indication of just the furthering of the relationship between the NFL and the AAF. If you missed it, when Jerry showed up at the Combine one of the days, he had an AAF hat on, and some people thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. And now he's going to be hosting the championship game. And we all know Dallas is also getting an XFL team, but this could actually be some good news for the AAF. They didn't have great news at the beginning with the whole payout thing and the hockey owner or whatever, but games on NFL Network, and now you got an NFL owner stepping up and essentially hosting the championship game. So could be interesting. That's late April 27th, 28th, or whatever, on that weekend, and the game is on CBS, so they're moving it to Frisco.
That's cool. You have my support as long as you keep your pedophilic hands to yourself, NBA.
I hope it never gets to that. I hope it never gets to that, but we'll see where it ends up with the AAF and which teams end up in Frisco. All right, coming up, we will get you just a little bit more, and then it's Texas baseball, 6:15 pregame, 6:30 first pitch for Texas and Arkansas. By the way, quick update on the play-in game. NC Central leads North Dakota State 16-14, 12 minutes to go in the first half. And again, those are on True TV tonight. If you're on Spectrum like Kevin and myself, that is channel 57. More coming up, and then it's Texas baseball on the Horn.
Afternoons with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it.
On the Horn, 1049 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delight. What's your story?
How about hour number four on a Wednesday? It will not last quite that long. That's what she said. 6:15 pregame, 6:30 first pitch for Texas and Arkansas in baseball. Trey Elling headed home for the evening. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Our man Brian Fitzgerald stepping in to produce the end of our show as well as the baseball games. We appreciate the thing as always. He'll be actually producing for us tomorrow as well. Trey's going to be hanging out with us over at Twin Peaks Round Rock. Come on out. Trey and Brad show, Rod show, our show. Guys will be hanging out watching hoops. So get your excuses all set and tell the boss what you need to and then come watch hoops with us.
And what a different life for the thing, Brian, as opposed to his early years as a sports fan. He's coming off another Super Bowl and about to defend as the Red Sox get ready to defend because they're a powerhouse now in the 21st century. What the hell happened? What bizarre world am I living in? But I'm actually used to now. Brian, you got to be pretty excited right now as a sportsman. I do see the chest out.
I'm still waiting to wake up from the coma.
Right.
And it's going to be 1986 again, and the ball's going to go through Buckner's leg again.
You're going to have the Bears again, that whole 86 year, right? Brian and I talked about this, and we're going to get to another Sox here, the White Sox, because there's a story on them. But I do miss Bostonians. I miss who they are because I've talked about it. East Coast people, but especially Bostonians, man, when they're losing, it's a fun crew to be around because they pick at the wounds. They're funny.
They're a good tortured fan.
Self-deprecating.
They're self-deprecating. They're hilarious. Everyone's a fraud. Everyone sucks. Everyone's just bad.
But one of the things I do like about it, though, is that they're not placing blames on, like, the league is out to get them or the league hates their team or anything. It's all internal.
Exactly.
It's Irish, turn it in on yourself, drink and hate yourself till you get an ulcer and die.
Very Catholic.
Exactly.
I just think if the Celtics can figure things out, they could really get on a run, and then you really have stuff to be happy about.
When it comes
about.
To that, as long as the Lakers are bad, we don't care.
I got you. Yeah, well, you got that. You definitely got that one figured out.
So does the name Eloy Jimenez ring a bell?
Until I read it a second ago, no, it did not.
And probably shouldn't. I mean, unless you're a big baseball nerd, he's kind of that next coming. He's right below probably Vlad Guerrero in terms of people really getting excited about him coming up to the majors.
And Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Junior,
for people who don't know.
Good call.
It is his son.
It is his son, and he's going to be lights out. But
his dad gave him some talent.
Dad gave him a lot of Yeah. Oh, it's his son, and he wasn't adopted.
Yeah, right.
And I haven't done any tests. I'm just looking at swings here.
You just think so,
looking
yeah.
at a violent swing.
Uh-huh.
But Jimenez is going to be they think he's going to be the real deal, and we're starting to see baseball and the players play around with this before there's any legislation. The White Sox signed him to a six-year deal. An extension worth $43 million. Chad, I think that's a good deal for the White Sox if they truly believe in this guy. He hit 154 in the Cactus League. Take that for what it is, and I wouldn't take it that far. But the best thing about it, Vlad Jr. is going to be back down because of that whole service time thing. When you sign this extension, guess what?
It gets rid of that crap?
Gone. Eloy will be on the opening day roster
That's the way it's supposed to be, right?
If he should be. Now, they may say, look, I mean, he's obviously not hitting at the point we want, so we want to get him some cuts in AAA.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the way it should be. We talk about it in the NBA. You shouldn't be up there just because we're reaching and we had to take you because it's all potential. And on this, if you should be up, you should be up.
You should be up. Yeah, this the story I'm reading says it's he's 22, power-hitting right fielder who was slated to start the season at AAA is almost certain to begin the year in the middle of the White Sox lineup after agreeing to a record-setting deal.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole key to it is, what are we, 8 days away? 8 days from now, on opening day, I don't know if they start at home or not, but let's say they do. That when that kid and his dad walk into the stadium to sit down, it's like, hey, we're going to see this and this. But, you know, did you hear about our right fielder? No, I didn't. His name is blah, 6 years, 43.
That's a good point.
You know, and then
yeah.
right from the beginning, instead of having to worry, you know, in 3 weeks, we're going to come back and watch Eloy Jimenez because we got to wait for him to get out of the minors.
And that's why it's a great deal, because you're going to get some more butts in the seats. You're going to get some really some good romantic Southside stories of the heroin dad and his heroin son sitting there on the first baseline. I mean, you know, the good things that we love about the White Sox.
Isn't that what it's about?
Having
right?
fun with my dad there, yo.
Isn't busting seats what it's about?
Absolutely. That's a large part of it. And you get a couple, club options to go with it, I believe.
Yes.
And so it could max out to like $76-77 million, but you have those options. You're getting butts in the seats right away. The White Sox are turning it around, but I don't think they're going to be great this year. You're still going to have to try and figure out, you know, ways to get people there, and Eloy will do it.
Yeah, the other thing I like about this, and hopefully they can move more towards this than what we've talked about, is, you know, fans, when you're a hardcore baseball fan, it's kind of hard to fool you. And nowadays, there's so much technology. You watch so many different games. Baseball fans know about these things. So you're insulting them if they walk into the stadium early in the year and you're telling them, Cubs fans back a few years ago, well, yeah, you guys can't see Chris Bryant yet. Why is that again? And then the explanation is just stupid.
Yeah, I mean, it's straight because the system works that way. And that's been... Yeah, it's not good for the sport. He's only the third guy. The third guy. You want to do one last thing here?
Let's go.
Last thing.
He's only the third guy ever
to sign an extension that hasn't played the major leagues. Scott Kingery did it last year. The Astros did it with another cat and it was like a five-year, $10 million deal. It wouldn't have been that big of a thing, and he never worked out. So it's all about risk-reward. I think this is a smart move. And for Eloy, you get paid right away.
Yeah, good for him.
Right.
6 years, $43 million. We know it's all guaranteed, and he's getting that right away.
Yeah, and Alex Bregman won't make $700,000 or whatever it is, and you have to go to arbitration year in and year out until it's all done. I like where this is moving, Chadwick.
Bet Alex Bregman's had some good meals the last couple days.
Yeah.
Celebrating this thing.
Yeah, he'll enjoy that dry heat when he's back at home in New Mexico in his billion-dollar house.
That is nice. All right, remember, tomorrow when the tournament cranks up, we will be at Twin Peaks in Round Rock. Come up and see us. Not just us. Trey and Brad will be doing their show there. Then Rod Baber's show with the Rodcast. And then we'll have the show for you leading all the way up to 7 o'clock. So we're watching games. Get on out there to Twin Peaks in Round Rock and join us. Tonight, it's Texas baseball, 6:30, first pitch, Texas and Arkansas. Have a good evening. See ya!
Nah, get chuckin', Joaquin.